Hello and welcome to Starter Set. My name is Ed Sylvester and today we are bringing you another Campaign Chronicles. Instead of taking you deeper into the pages of Dungeons & Dragons, we bring you a story direct from those pages. Today's episode is inspired by a particular monster called a Soul Gazer, a creation of friends of the show, Lanswyn's Journal. Let's get into it. After encounters with giant snails, four-armed gargantuan gorillas, sleep-mist-breathing leopards with snakes protruding from their shoulders, gangs of flying capuchin monkeys, with a tendency to take anything that isn't held down, and not to mention miles and miles of sweaty, hot jungle, we join the adventurers as they complete their journey back to the city of Freehold for some hard-earned rest, and as Jimny mentions, a bath and a massive tankard of cold beer. Jimny splits off to one side, pulling Bear Killer into the Thundering Lizard. Isabar announces,
I'm going to go and find my cubs and make sure they've been up to no good, or at least a mild bit of mischief.
Leaving Dorian to make his way towards his home quarter. The markets were open today, so the streets were particularly chaotic. He spent time dodging under the large beasts of burden and shifting through the tight-packed crowds. He barters with a local fruit seller and gets a nice sweet fruit with seeds that pop in the mouth for only a few copper. As he finishes up the fruit, Dorian enters Grandfather's. Now, Grandfather's is an old establishment, once just a small wooden lean-to home, but has become the center point for all the halfling community, thanks to the occupier, an old halfling hunter, lovingly referred to by all as Grandfather. As Dorian enters, around Grandfather's feet, a group of young halflings sit and listen as he begins a story. Everyone sit, and I'll tell you a tale that'll straighten the hair on your toes. Deep, deep in the jungle, past the Sapphire Falls and down the Great Ravine, over Icetooth Ridge, there lies the ruins of a once great hall. Its true name, I no longer recall. Raised to ruin by the man that built it under the misdirection of a fiendish entity. Prepare yourself for the tale of the Soul Hall Ruins. So, long ago, there was the third son. The son of a lord or marquis or count or something like that. And he came to these jungles and saw potential. He saw the potential for trade, the potential to build your own life, to take a plot of land, and if you're strong enough, make it your own. Being a third son, there was really no real place for him back in his own lands. The firstborn was taught the arts of war and writing. The second was taught spells and statecraft. The third tends to be left to his own devices. So he starts to bring in mercenaries from across the sea. The third son carves an area of the jungle down, sending the exotic fruits and animal pelts back to be sold at market, and using the logs to build a place of safety, a great hall. From here, the third son starts to lead small groups out into the jungle to gather more and more resources, which are then traded back in many of the markets, and the third son discovered success. He began to hold annual feasts, inviting his brothers and family, showing his vast wealth and beautiful wife, and ultimately showing off the success he has made for himself. This continued for many years, and the hall grew into a large estate. Then, the invites stopped arriving. Scouts were dispatched to the hall. They never returned. The two older brothers began to worry. No communication came from the hall for close to 3 years. So, brothers gathered troops and made their way to the hall. What they found was an abandoned estate, broken furniture, doors off hinges, and the dead lying on the ground. They passed the body of the third brother's wife, her face twisted in agony in the throes of death, as they began to explore the inner workings of the hall. The brothers and their troops entered the main hall, and as they came close, they began to hear a noise, a wailing laughter, a nonsensical maddened shout. Opening the door to the hall, they find the third brother, alive but very much unwell. He was sat on a pile of bodies rocking backwards and forth, cradling a great sword like a babe, covered in blood. The third brother looks up towards his sibling and lets out a scream, spittle and blood being ejected from his mouth as his eyes dart wildly in many directions. It is then the second brother notices something floating in the shadows. Many feet above the ground, close to the ceiling of the great hall, a fiendish creature floats. It looks like a severed head of some terrible demon, dark horns protruding from the heavily scaled dome. At its base were rows of dagger-like teeth that seemed to move of their own volition. In the center of the writhing teeth, a massive drooping tongue that curls and curls repeatedly in on itself. The thing recognizes that it has been spotted. It extends its undulating tongue, and in what seems like a blink, wraps it around the still manically screaming third brother, bringing the man to its mouth, and blood and gristle spill from the thing as the terrible teeth do their work. The tongue drops the third brother's limp and lifeless body onto the floor. As they pull themselves from being temporarily frozen, watching their sibling's life being taken with such ease, both brothers yell in defiance. The spellcaster begins to weave semantic gestures, pulling forth powerful elemental energies, the first brother hefting his shield and sword, motioning his men towards the fiend. The one-eyed creature turns and focuses its great singular eye on the men charging towards it. Each man stops, drops his spear and shield, and begins to wail. The first brother falls to his knees, clutching his head, the second frozen in fear, his lips still open halfway through his arcane chant, and in that moment, each is filled with a crippling fear as their worst nightmares are played out in their mind's eye. A voice, both terrible and dark, fills the chamber.
Fear me, mortals, for darkness has found you and death will soon be your only escape. Trepidation will become you, and none will ever hope to see the light of day. Woe be unto you, for you who have looked upon me, I will spare none. Now fear me and die.
Now they say that only one man returned from that expedition, and he was found many years later by passing jungle hunters. The man had been driven to madness and removed his own eyes to stop the visions. None knew who he was or what to do with him. He was brought back here to Freehold, where he ranted and raved, repeating the same rhyme in the whispers of the truly insane. Glassy eye of devil moon, coming soon, oh coming soon, tricking mortal souls to doom by the moon, oh by the moon. Fiend of fear of night of death, coming soon, oh coming soon, hungers till no mortals left, twill consume and consume. Holy light where dark is met, light of noon, oh light of noon. Reveal all that the demons kept by the moon, oh by the moon. Eventually, the man was found by a gnomish cleric, who through healing, he cured the man of his madness and found that he was caring for the second brother. His account of the happenings at the Soul Hall ruins have never been confirmed, but who would wish to if that creature is what awaits there? They say in the hall there remains a large trove of wealth amassed by the third brother, guarded by a creature that may or may not exist. I ask only you, little ones, who is brave enough to venture and see? Seeing the grandfather finish his tale, Dorian pulls out parchment, ink and quill, makes a note of the directions and some of the key points in the story. Smiling to himself and shifting his bow on his shoulder, he says to himself, "Oh my, oh my, the crew are going to be interested in this. Yes, they most definitely are." As he walks from the grandfather's house to his own home. And that's it. Thanks so much for listening. I hope you enjoyed yet another Campaign Chronicles, a story from the D&D multiverse. As I mentioned at the beginning of the episode, the creature featured in this story is called a Soul Gazer, and it's created by friends of the show Landwind's Journal. They create 5th edition miniatures with a monster compendium full of lore about those said miniatures. If you enjoyed the show and wish to hear one of your own stories from the table brought to audible life, feel free to add us on Instagram at StarterSetPodcast and drop us a direct message. As always, if you found yourself entertained, even in the smallest degree, please do share the episode with others or give us a rate on whatever podcasting platform you listen on. It basically allows us to spread the word out there. So finally, thanks for listening. We've been Starter Set. You've been our listeners. Roll well and goodbye.